brought to you by the Glam Plan, who so happened to be our nieces and told us we had to give them a shout out on our podcast. So shout out to the Glam Plan. If you want your hair laid and slayed, follow them at the Glam, G-L-A-M, Plan, P-L-A-N.
On Instagram, where you can make appointments and get your hair done. So give them a follow. You know, they're good peoples. Use promo code EddieCentra and you get 5% off.
I don't know about all that. They might not agree to those 5% off, but yeah. So, once again, I'm Erica. This is our still untitled podcast.
And I'm Just Blue, and we're back at it again. So, what's the topic for the day?
So, yeah, we last episode we went hard, probably a little bit too hard, some people might say, on our social media antics. Just talking about the stuff that's happening on social media. So I want to talk about the whole Aunt Becky college scandal. I have mixed feelings about that just because, I mean, I ain't mad at her. She did what she had to do to get her kid in college, you know? And also I feel like this happens every day. Like, you know, people do what they need to do to get where they need to be. And some people have the means to do it as others don't, which people might say is unfair. But I don't know. So, yeah, how you feel about that?
Yeah, I feel like I agree with it, too. I mean, how many times do you apply for a job and you got all the credentials to get the job and you don't get it because the head of the HR's cousin needs a job and, you know, that person gets a job over you. So, it's not about what you know, it's who you know and what you can do. So, I don't see nothing wrong with that. You got to get it how you live.
So, some people might say that it's unfair because you have students who are actually, like, kids who are actually smart and capable. They're just not given the opportunity to be in these, like, Ivy League schools and stuff. And then you have people like, for instance, so what Aunt Becky did was she paid someone to rig her daughter's college application, right? So this person came, she gave them, I think it was like $100,000, and they made up this wonderful college application for the girl. They said that she was a crew member, which for those of you who don't know what crew is pretty much rowing. Like, rowing is a sport. So they made it seem like her daughter was like MVP of this whole crew thing, took fake pictures of her on a fake crew team, and pretty much just rigged her college application so that she can get...
They went that hard online?
They went that hard.
Oh, okay, so yeah. Never mind.
So they paid $100,000 to rig her college application so she could get into, I don't know, what college was that? I don't know. Southern California?
I don't know.
But yeah, one of these California Ivy League... schools.
I think it was USC.
USC, there you go, thank you. So yeah, USC, they rigged her college application so that she can go. So would you go that hard for your kids? Would you go that hard to get your kids into an Ivy League?
Yeah.
You'd pay $100,000 to fake the application, take fake pictures, and then would you feel a type of way about that? So would you feel badly?
No, I wouldn't. We lie every day.
Oh, you lie every day. That's brand new information to your wife.
I'm just saying we lie when we get online, when we lie on our job applications, we lie on, you know, home applications. People lie to get what they want. So
that's a fact, because the day my boss asked me to do something on Excel, he's going to be I'm going to be rudely awakened because I'm allegedly proficient on that bad boy in my resume.
Yeah.
But no, I see what you're saying.
So I mean, it's wrong, but... She had to do what she had to do for her kids. You know what I'm saying? And as a parent, looking at that situation, I can't be mad at her. Like, I'll do what I gotta do for my kids if I have to, you know? If I gotta lie and say, no, he didn't kill that person, I'm gonna lie. You know what I'm saying? It's just...
That's a touchy subject. See, I agree with you. I would bend the rules a little bit if I knew I had the power to get my kid in there. But then I would kind of sit back and I'd be like, I'm not teaching my kid nothing. There's no lesson in this for my child. So he just took the whole easy route, because I'm thinking about my son. When I think about rigging things, I feel like that's the one I'm gonna have to rig things for. My son Dylan, like, I think that's the one I'm gonna have to finagle things for. Cause I think my daughter AJ, she just talks so much that people just be like, yo, just give her the job, right? But my son, he's a little, you know, he's mad laid back. He don't really talk. Like, he's just really he's introverted, right? So I feel like Dylan would be the one that we would have to rig things for. So I'm thinking about him when I rig things, right? So I feel like I would do it at the moment, right? And I'll be like, if I have the opportunity to get my son into USC, if I just gotta lie and say that he made 103 three-point shots on his high school team, I would. But then I would sit back and I'd be like, yo, there's no lesson in this for him. Like, he's sliding through life and I'm allowing this to happen. And then I would feel bad about it. But then I would also feel bad, like, there's actually kids out there that are better than him and deserve that opportunity. And I'm kind of taking his spot away. You know what I'm saying? So it's a little bit of both. Like, I would lie to get him ahead in life and then feel badly about it. But when it comes to killing somebody, now I'm telling. I can't have that on my conscience.
We don't snitch on this podcast. So, I don't know.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel like I can't sit there knowing. I don't know. I can't. I don't want to have to put myself in that position, God forbid. But I don't think I'd be able to do that. I think I'm a lie, and I'm going to say, like, I don't know, but I don't think I would lie and say he ain't do it.
Well, to jump back to, what's that real name? I don't feel comfortable calling Aunt Becky, but
Lori Loughlin. Right.
Yes.
Right. Lori Loughlin, yeah.
Aunt Becky suits her better.
Aunt Becky, yeah. So back to Aunt Becky.
Aunt Becky, so you can't be mad at her because the school accepted the money.
That's a fact. They had this gentleman that accepted their money had this position. So it's not just Aunt Becky. Let's talk about Felicity Huffman. She was one of them too. She's an actress, right? And she's a very well-known actress. And she paid for her kids to get their SATs taken by somebody else. So she
Wait, hold on. So did the kid pass?
The kid, no. So she paid this man to find someone to take the SATs for her kid. And her on the SATs scored like a 1600 or something like that, which allowed them to get into an Ivy League. So
genius,
right? That's what I'm saying. That is pure genius. That is pure genius. And I'm not going to lie. Like, I kind of finessed AJ's application to get her into pre-K a little bit.
You lied about her whole age.
I lied about her whole age. But see, our daughter is extremely mature, so it's not like, you know, it's not that much of a lie. But I didn't lie and say she was a mathematician. I didn't lie and say that she could do things that she really can't. I just finagled things a little bit to give her an opportunity, and then she did the rest, which that I don't mind. So, you know, having somebody take the SATs for your kid, I'm kind of for that, because you know what, some kids are really smart, but they bad test takers, right? So if I know, like, for instance, my son he's really, really smart, but I know he sucks at taking tests, right?
Yeah.
But I know that he has the capabilities of achieving things on his own. Then I might flex it a little bit so somebody can take his test for him, and then he take it from there. I feel like that I might do. But to lie and say that he's a whole crew MVP and take pictures on a fake team and do all of that, I don't think I would do that.
But people take fake pictures and put them on Instagram all the time.
Yeah, but we're talking about, like, giving your kid, like, doing it for your child. I don't know, man. See, it's a thin line, because, I don't know, when it comes to my kids, I would probably flex things a little bit, but I also want there to be a lesson. I want them to take things and run with it. If I'm going to flex it, and I'm going to put myself out there, and you're just going to take it. So, the thing about it is, Aunt Becky's daughter, Lori Loughlin's daughter, is also a YouTuber, and she's, like, a very famous YouTuber. And she went on her YouTube channel and said that she doesn't care about college. She's just there for the parties. Right? And when this whole scandal broke out, she was on a high-ranking person from USC. She was on his private yacht somewhere. And they had to turn the yacht around so she could come and face whatever it is that she did. So this girl is not taking the opportunity that her mother gave her. She's pretty much, like, shitting on other people. Like, yeah, I'm on this yacht right now. I didn't have to do nothing to be on this yacht. I was just born to Aunt Becky.
I mean, I look at it like, it's not... I mean, Aunt Becky's just doing what she's trying to do as a mother. She's just trying to give what's best to her kids. So, you're going to do things that you're going to look back and feel like they were wrong. So, the kid sounds like a spoiled prick. So, you know, the kid just wants to go to college and party. Like, that's every college kid. Every college kid wants to go away and have parties, get drunk, have a good time. difference is her parent is rich and she can afford to pay the $100,000 to send the kid to school, and Ivy League school on top of that.
I feel you. I mean, I don't know. It's a fine line. I feel like it's a fine, it's a very, very fine line. But when you're raising kids, like what about the people that don't, are not given the same opportunity? So yeah. like you and I, we're raising two kids. We have an almost 11-year-old son and we have a 5-year-old daughter, right? Mm. And so you and I don't have the ability to pay somebody off to give our kids opportunity, right? Mm. So how do you give your kids opportunity in that situation?
What, school?
Not just in school, in life. So I feel like if I'ma think like Lori Loughlin, like Aunt Becky, if I'ma think like her, right? I'ma be like, well, when I was younger, I didn't have the opportunity. So I have the ability to give my kids the opportunity. I'm going to do what I can to do it for my kids, right?
Yep.
That's what all parents think. Like, I want to give my kids what I didn't have. But when you don't have the ability to give your kids that exact opportunity, then how you do it? You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't got $100,000 to put Dylan in USC. We don't got that. So what do we do? What, as parents, can we do to grant them an opportunity?
That is a good question.
Right? Like what can we do? So then from that aspect, I look at her like, I don't know. I can't really comment because I can't really say if I had the $100,000 if I would do it or I wouldn't do it. Because I damn sure ain't never had the opportunity to go to USC in my life. But if I could give my kid that opportunity, would I? And how far would I go to give it to them? Like, do I want to take away a whole life's lesson of hard work and sacrifice, or do I want to just give it to them on a silver platter? Because I don't think there's nothing wrong with any one of them. Like, I look at people whose kids are spoiled, and I can't judge them, because if I had the ability to spoil my kids, I would too. Right?
Yep.
I think we all would. We could all agree, like, yo, if I could buy my son a Range Rover for his 16th birthday, I would, because I want to give my kids the world, but I can't. So I can't really judge. I can't really talk from either perspective. I just know that whatever I do, I never want to forget that there should be a lesson behind it. Like, that's what I know. So I know, like, if I give my son, if I buy Dylan that toy that he wanted because he worked hard in school, the lesson is you work hard, you get rewarded. But then I also don't want him to think that he has to work hard just to get rewarded. I want him to know that in life, you just have to work hard to survive, to live. So I can't call it. I don't know.
I mean, sometimes there's no reason behind it at all. You know, there's no, you know, the lesson is don't get caught. If your parents are paying the school board to put you through it, that's the lesson. Don't get caught.
All right, so we'll all agree that Just Blue is a scoundrel. He will hustle his way through life because he's from Harlem.
Yes, we hustle all
He's from day. Harlem, so he's going to hustle his way to USC. So when y'all see my kid at USC, don't doubt it. Yep. Don't question it.
Just know that he's there.
Just know he's there. And if we say that he was an MVP and he shoots like Steph Curry,
don't
believe it.
Don't question it.
Because I feel like everybody does that. Like, I always found it funny how these famous kids, like, look at Diddy's son. Diddy's son is on the football team.
We can't talk about Diddy. Diddy can shut this podcast down. We got to use code names. All right?
All right, so we're going to use...
Facts. We can say Mr.
Charlie Suitman.
No, even worse. Mr. Mr. Bob.
All right, Mr. Bob. Mr. Bob's son is on the football team at USC,
no,
right?
He plays tennis. Mr. Bob's son plays tennis.
All right, so we're going to end the conversation. I'm going to take that as a cue to keep it moving. But I will say, though, that celebrities do it all the time. It's done all the time. I think that people shouldn't judge her because y'all not in the position to judge her, because you don't know what you would do if you were given that opportunity when it comes to your kids. I know I don't know what I would do. If I had the opportunity to send my kid to USC, I don't know if I'd lie to do it. I don't know. I can't call it.
People lie all the time. People lie on their kids all the time, so it's nothing.
That's true. Like, sometimes I'll be looking at the stories people be telling me about their kids. I'm like, why are you lying? Because I be lying about my kids all the time.
I be the one that got to use a bathroom. I be telling people at the store, it's not me. He got to use a bathroom. I be lying on them all the time.
Sometimes I be lying like, oh, you know, they're not feeling well today. I'm sorry. I can't go to your dinner.
Yeah, I can't make it. Yeah. Well, you're giving out people, you know, you got to chill out because you're giving people too much. So then when you start telling other people, like, hey, come over. No, my sons ain't feeling good. They got to stay home. They're going to know that's a lie. You're just giving that's out true. All the secrets right now.
That's you know, true.
All the secrets.
But, yeah, our kids are pretty dope. How do you think that your kid reflects your parenting skills? Like, what do your kids do that you be like, damn, do they get that from me? Because, see, my thing is, I'm very hard on myself when it comes to being a parent, right? Like, mm-hmm. I know that I'm going to fuck my kid up. But I just, it's the level of fucked upness.
Is it
a spectrum? Is it 1 to 10? Am I going to fuck you up from 1 to 3? Then I'm okay with that. If I'm going to fuck you up from 4 to 5, I got to fix some things. From 5 on, it's like, what am I doing
game
wrong?
Game over.
It's game over. Because I know my parents, you know, shout out to y'all. But, you know, they kind of fucked me up a little bit. I just don't want to fuck my kids up too badly to where they, like, got to recover from, like, their childhood. So I'm okay with fucking y'all up from, like, 1 to 3. But, like, past that is, like, a little bit of a problem. So, like, what do you think our kids do that reflects your parenting?
I mean, it's a shitload of stuff they do, you know. And I don't know, man. I got to start with the kid, with the boy. He's an ass. But he's a charming asshole, like his father. Like, I'm an ass, but I'm charming. So it's like you get the same level of respect, but you also get the same level of love. Oh, he's such a charming kid. He's just joking. He's not mean it. I'm not an asshole. Like, you know, he's just joking. You smile and you wave and then turn around and be an asshole. Like, they love it.
I might have to agree with that. I might have to say that. So Dylan is very much like you, right? So Dylan is very much. Oh, there goes Livy. That's our goddaughter, Livy. Say hi, mama. Say hi, mamas. So Dylan very much reflects you. Dylan's personality is very much you, right?
Yes.
A lot of times I get the same complaint about him in regards to his sarcasm, and I can't help but laugh because you are probably one of the most sarcastic people I have ever met in my life. Yes. And so when they tell me, like, yo, Dylan is way too sarcastic, I'm like, have you met his father?
And they would say no, and they hope not to. Yeah, I guess it's just it's a shield. When you're an asshole, you're shielding yourself from something. So whether it's something that happened to you in your past, whether it's something you experienced, being an asshole is a shield. Now wear it really well.
I agree. Do you think that that's hereditary, or do you think that Dylan picked that up, like, throughout all the years of just being around you?
Yes, he did. I'm like the Coke that spilled, and he's a sponge that soaked it up.
Yes, I live for your little analogy. I live for it. You are the spilled Coke. We should name this episode The Spilled Coke.
No, because we might attract
people. The wrong people.
We might attract the wrong people for the wrong reasons.
I will say that Dylan is very much like his father in a lot of ways. But I will also say that he's very much like me in the sense that he wears his emotions on his sleeve. So, like, throughout my life, I've always had, like, resting bitch face, and it's been very much mistaken for having an attitude or why she look like that, right? Or, like, I've always had people tell me, like, yo, if you don't like somebody, just pretend you like them to be cordial.
What?
Like, I don't know what that means, because I literally cannot do that. I literally cannot. And sometimes I force myself, like, I know I'm in a professional environment. I know, like, let me try to be a good person in 2017. Let me try to be a better person in 2018. Let me fix this for 2019. But I just can't. Like, if I don't like somebody, if I'm not feeling your vibe, you see it on my face. And I feel like Dylan is the same exact way. And sometimes people be like, yo, he got a bad attitude. And I can't even punish him because he get it from me.
Yeah, I don't punish
him. So I can't punish him. I can't be like, well, sometimes I'll just be like, what did you do? Like, what you did to him? He's not gonna look like that if you didn't do something to him. So, like, I think, like, when it comes to kids, one very important thing about parenting is realizing, like, yo, they get it from you in one way or another. It's either nature or nurture. They got it through their DNA, or they got it because they've been around you for so long.
And that's cool, you know, because nobody's going to take them for a sucker.
Right. You know? Right.
Nobody wants to raise a sucker. know what I'm saying? So you raise a kid who's tough. Who's an asshole.
Right. And then I feel like from you, he also gets the questioning. Like, there's so many times he questions literally everything. Like, there's so many, I'll yell at him till I turn, like, my head feels like it's about to burst because I'm yelling at the boy so hard. And he'll look me dead in my face and be like, But why?
There's an answer for everything. This is what I taught him.
Right. And I feel like that's what he gets from you.
There's an answer for everything. You know, take some time to get the answer, but eventually, if you keep asking, they're going to have to give us an answer.
Right. Yeah. Right. So it's like, I feel like we as parents, you know, we got to look at our kids and be like, where they get it from? Where are you getting this from?
Well, don't be shocked where they get it from. Because exactly. They get it from you.
Exactly. Which is why it's hard. Or social media. That's a good point. And then when it comes to our daughter, it's like, my daughter is literally the most dramatic individual you will ever meet in your life. Not she the record, cries.
Gets that from her mama.
First of all, I don't think she gets it from me. I think she gets it from her Hispanic heritage.
No.
Like, we invented novelas. We invented telenovelas. So we have drama running through our blood, our veins. Like, we emphasize, we use hands. It's part of being a Hispanic. Okay? So she doesn't just get that from me. She gets that from being Hispanic. But it's hard for me to deal with.
Is her mother Hispanic?
Yeah.
So she gets it from her mother.
Alright, if you want to take it that way, if you want to take it there. But her dad is also Hispanic, and her dad is also the person that is even more dramatic. Like, you just... That's another podcast episode. Well, I'm just gonna say,
being dramatic brings you attention, right? If you have no personality and you have no charisma, you are bland, right?
That's true, and our kids ain't bland.
Thank you. I rest my case.
I don't know what your case was, so I don't know if it's rested quite yet. Comes to being dramatic, right?
I always wanted to say that.
Our daughter takes the cake. She is one of the most dramatic individuals you have ever met. So for me, it's hard because I'm so used to, we had Dylan for 6 years before we had her. And I'm so used to being the mother of a boy that when she came along, it was like, how do I handle this? So, like, that's another thing to remember when you're a parent, especially when you have more than one child. Like, it's hard. Like, every stage with a child is different. Yep. So, by the time AJ came along, Dylan was already grown, right? Not grown, but he had, like, his own personality, and he was always very introverted and very quiet and very chill. Like, when he was a baby, he didn't even cry. Like, I can't remember him throwing tantrums. He was just chill. Like, sometimes I would look at him, I'd be like, yo, are you hungry? Am I supposed to feed you or do something? Because you're not doing nothing.
Good times.
Like, it was the best. And then Arabella came along and she was the complete opposite.
She changed the game.
She changed the game indeed. So it's like, parents got to look at it and be like, there's two different personalities, two different children, two different people, two different individuals that you want to raise the same, but hope that they reach milestones and shit or whatever it is that the books say. But then it's like, you're stretching yourself thin. Parents go crazy over this shit. Like, I'm out of my mind because I gotta be a mother to a 11-year-old boy who's fucking mad sarcastic and makes me want to rip my hair out. I gotta be a mother to a 5-year-old girl who's dramatic as hell and makes me want to just slap the shit out of her every day. Then I gotta be the wife to you. So I gotta be, and then I gotta work, and then I gotta function in society, and then I gotta be a person that an independent woman. Like, I gotta be all these people. This is why parents go crazy.
This is why we drink. And
Lots of liquor. I may be a little drunk now.
Let's get her another cup, man. Let's keep it going. Let's get
her another cup. I'm not drunk.
Let's get her another cup and keep it going.
But yeah, like, I think one thing that parents need to understand is like, yo, you're stretching. Like, it's okay to go insane. You're stretching yourself thin. You're going to fuck your kid up. It's part of life. Just remember the spectrum. Remember the scale. Do you want to fuck them up at a 1? Or do you want to fuck them up at a 10?
You know what? I'm just going to say it. Like, this is the advice I got before I became a parent. And this, the key word here is patience. Patience with everything. Because without it, you just lose your mind.
Patience, so, indeed. Patience is very important.
So patience is the key word here. It's a must to survive. It's a must to keep going because patience is everything.
So. And let me ask you a question, as a man, right? As a man, because I could only speak from a female's perspective. Let me be culturally.
As a human, you gotta.
I can only speak from a self-identified female's perspective, right?
Yes, but call me a human.
So I know. See, roll me drunk, get me drunk. I know what it's like to be a mom, right? I don't know what it's like to be a dad. I know what it's like to be a woman and raise kids. And I know what it's like to...
Wait, you said you know what it's like to be a dad?
No, I said I don't know what it's like to be a dad, right? I can't speak from a male's perspective. I can't speak from a Hispanic male's perspective. I can't speak from just a male in general, right? And I feel like we as women don't acknowledge too much the pressures that men have on them, right?
Well, thank you.
We just look at it like...
Thank you.
We just look at it like, oh, men, you know, they have it so easy because they got a dick and they can do whatever they want, right?
Well, first of all, we don't look at it... It's not that easy to pee as a man because sometimes your aim is wrong. So I'm sorry, babe.
Sometimes
you get on the floor, sometimes you get on the side of the toilet seat.
I'm so sorry about that.
But just to let you know,
that must be hard.
Not that easy.
That must be hard for you. All
right.
But I feel as a woman...
Going forward.
Because I have a son, right? So I feel like... That's the best sound of the world.
That was champagne.
That was the champagne popping. But I feel like we as women, right, we don't acknowledge that men have lots of pressure too. They got the pressure to provide. They got the pressure to protect. They got the pressure to just be a man and function, right? So sometimes women take that away from men a lot because we go through a lot, but men go through a lot too, right? So I know what it's like to be a mother, and I know what I want for my kids. So what do you as a man... Like, what do you feel as a man, as a father? What would make you feel like you were a successful father?
The outcome. The outcome when I am too old to be there for my kids, when they're growing themselves and start families of their own. That's when I can say, and if they're doing good in life, and you know they're more, you know, their morale is good, and you know they're healthy, and they're great relationships or great marriages, then that's when I feel like I've done my best.
Okay.
You know? Like, if I feel like if that's not the outcome for them, then I failed. Because everyone wants what's best for their kids, and that's what I want. Like, I don't want my kid to be president of the United States. I don't want my daughter to be the next Beyonce. I just want my kids to be happy and to be law-abiding citizens, you know, and just to be the kind of person that other people want to be around.
I feel you.
All that extra stuff, you know, it's just extra stuff. But that's all I want. And that's when I know I'll be successful. If my son calls me up and is like, Dad, I just proposed, and she said yes. And I ask him how he did it, and it was an idea I gave him when he was 15 years old.
So you want all the credit, pretty much.
I don't want all the credit.
You want all the credit. You want your son to be like, yeah, I did what you told me to do.
No. I just want him to be happy and successful and healthy.
I feel you.
But there is a lot of stress put on men, especially, you know.
And I'm gonna stop you right there. I'm sorry for interrupting, but I just want to put this out there because I see the comments on our live. I'm talking from our perspective. So when I say that there's a lot of pressure put on men, I know that in our marriage, I put a lot of pressure on you sometimes. Just because of the way the dynamic of our marriage is. So a little background is, my husband works nights, evenings and nights.
Yes, thank you.
Evenings and nights.
And that's it.
And I work the most of the day, so I do pick up a lot of the load from our kids. But that's not to say that you don't pick up a lot of the load as well. And sometimes I put a lot of pressure on you because you're not there, and I know that that can be very stressful. But I'm talking about, like, in society in general, right? If you think about it, yes, mothers do more. Yes, women do more. Yes, we do pick up the load, right? However, think about how stressful, how much pressure it is for a man of color to walk down the street. That within itself, to me, must be very stressful, especially with the climate of our society. With the cultural and political climate we live in, it can be stressful being a man. No? It's not stressful. I got three men in the room. I mean, Is it stressful being a man?
I'm going to put it like this.
It's very stressful.
Like, it's not the political climate because we've been stressed before this happened. It's just life in general as men. We have a lot of pressure put on us to deliver. You know, we are expected to be superheroes. We're expected to be doctors. We're expected to be mechanics, painters, everything. And then when we don't deliver... We disappoint.
Absolutely, and I acknowledge
and
that.
And then we still have to carry that badge of being a man, and you know what I'm saying? So it's just not the surroundings, it's just how it's been since before time. Like, men.
Now, as a father, how do you carry that into being a father? How do you tell your son? How would you tell your son it's stressful being a man? Or are you going to let him learn on his own?
I don't tell him that. It's something that he should experience on his own. I don't want to put this, you know, I don't want to put the thoughts in his head that it's hard being a man, because then he's going to start to doubt himself. The last thing we need in this world is doubtful men. We need our men to be strong, mentally healthy, yes. Mentally strong. We don't need to put doubt in our heads anymore. So
I agree.
You know, so I wouldn't tell him anything. I would just tell him, yo, when it's your time, you'll find out.
I agree. And I would love to instill in our daughter to not put so much stress on men. Because like I said, I feel like when you're married with children, the pressure switches a little bit. And it's more like, I need to provide for these kids. Like, I need to provide for my wife. I need to make sure they're good. I need to make sure that I'm the protector.
See, right? But in this day and age now, it's a little different because women don't need the man to provide anymore.
They don't. But
well, no, not that they don't. Some of them don't want to. They don't want the man to provide. They don't want the man to cater. They feel like they're strong enough to do all these things for themselves.
You're right, but then that builds another pressure on a man. Like, am I not worthy?
Am I not worthy?
For you?
Am I not rich enough? Am I not
exactly
attractive enough? So it's a lot.
Exactly, and that's what I'm speaking on. Like, the pressures are like a spectrum. So it's like, if you're too strong of a man, right? If all you want to do is provide for your wife because that's what you were taught, you need to be the provider, right? Then what happens is you're either going to find a female that all they want to do is have you provide for them, or when you find a female, they're going to be like, I don't need you to provide for me because I got it for my own. You're going to be like, well, then I can't be a man because I was always told that being a man means that you're the provider. So then you kind of shrink down a little bit, right?
Too strong of a woman.
If you're too strong of a woman, then it becomes intimidating for a man, right? So it's like we need to find a balance. So if you're too strong of a woman, it's like you're not going to find that one man that is going to be enough for you, which then becomes the issue of women putting too much pressure on the man, right? So it's like this cycle. It's like this circle. We as women...
And I hate to cut you off. It's also the culture you're raised in as a woman and as a man. In some cultures, women are raised to, you know... be the rock for their man, you know, be the backbone.
You're right.
And in some cultures, women are just raised to be dependent on their own and just accept what the man brings to the table.
You're right.
That's the balance.
You're right. But I'm going to have to call a little bit of bullshit on that because I think it's the person that raised you, because I have different examples in my life. So it's like I was raised more by my grandmother, but I lived in a home with my mother. I don't want to say my mother raised me, because a lot of the values that were instilled in me came from my grandmother. So a little bit of background for my grandmother. She came to this country from PR when she was 15, right? So dark-skinned Hispanic, didn't know English, right? She had a kid already at 15. So she came here not knowing anybody, not knowing nothing. She just decided to come to New York City. She started a business by herself, right? She had another child after that. And my grandmother is now about to be 76 years old, mm-hmm. and she's still running her business, right? Still running her business. She's doing things for herself. So when my grandmother raised me, all I saw was a hardworking woman. My grandmother never remarried. She never got married. She never had a man in her life that I know of. I know she had a secret boo. That's another story.
She still does.
She never had like a man in her life, so she never depended on no man. In fact, the family depended on her. So I always had that example of hardworking woman, right?
Let me ask you this. But why didn't she remarry? Like,
because I don't know. I don't know.
But she had everything. She had the money, she had the business.
She had everything,
the kids,
right? But
she was missing a partner.
Maybe she wasn't missing a partner. Maybe that's not something she was missing.
I think everybody needs a partner in life.
Not everyone.
I think everyone.
Not everyone. Not everyone. I feel like you need a partner.
Do you want to die alone?
I don't want to die alone, but I don't think I would die alone. Like, I don't think I would die alone. I have a partner, but if I didn't have a partner, I'd be surrounded by family. I'd be surrounded by people who love me. I don't think you need a partner to complete you. In fact, I think in order to be a good partner, you need to be complete already. I can't give you what you need if I don't know what I need.
Hold on.
do you think I'd be the wife I was if I was like this insecure? Like, I feel like in my grandmother's situation, for instance, I feel like my grandmother was never. I don't think she ever felt. All right, so my grandfather, the man she had my father with, my grandfather, may he rest in peace, was not the nicest of men, right?
Yeah.
He was violent. He was abusive. He was in and out of prison, right? He was in and out of jail. He was a cheater. He was a liar. And he put her through a lot, right? And so when she left him, she probably felt this sense of relief. It wasn't like, I'm missing that companionship. Because I'm pretty sure within that, he gave her companionship. And he gave her partnership.
Yeah, but if he was abusive to her, then it was something that maybe that situation, that relationship, turned her off from having anybody else. So maybe technically not that she didn't need a partner. Maybe it's she was afraid of going through the same thing again with someone else.
Absolutely. But within that marriage, I'm pretty sure there were times that he gave her companionship. Right, he gave her partnership. Maybe there was a few times where they laid in bed together and pillow talked and shared dreams and shared goals and shared wishes. And that part was good. That part was companionship. That part was partnership. Right. So when she left him, she probably felt a sense of relief, like, I'm not in this violent relationship anymore. But if it was that she was missing partnership, she would revert back to that time when everything was good and want that again. But she didn't want that again. She
didn't want the abuse. I'm pretty sure if the guy was a nice guy, treated her well, treated her like a queen, just to be together. But she left because he was abusive.
I feel you.
And that's why she probably didn't revert back to that. She didn't want to
I agree. But I just think that for someone to not have that for so many years, I don't think it's something that they missed. You know what I mean? Because my grandmother raised kids. She raised grandkids. She's raising great-grandkids now as we speak. She's still going. She don't look her age. She's still running her business. She's still stacking her bread. And she's still smiling every day. And she's still thanking God when she gets out of bed in the morning. So I don't think that you're missing anything if that's the type of life you're living. Now, if she is missing companionship or she is missing partnership, it's not too late for her to get it. Right? She's only 76. Like, she's got a whole life to live ahead of her. So I don't think it's something that people need. In essence. But what was the point we were making before all of that?
I don't know. I kind of, my mind just drifted somewhere else. But while you was talking about that, let's give a shout out first to anybody in an abusive relationship.
Yes,
if you feel like you
absolutely
can't get out, there is help out there. You just got to reach out, you know, whether it's a family, whether it's a doctor. Whether if you're in school, reach out to your teacher, your guidance counselor. Whether you're at work, you can reach out to a coworker you trust. You know, and just try, get help, because there are ways to get out of this. You know, we just wanted to point that out because it's hard. I know it's very hard out there for people in abusive relationships to leave and to rebuild themselves afterwards.
Absolutely. To bring that back, though, we were talking about there's certain cultures that raise their kids to kind of be a kind of way. And I was saying that I had to call bullshit, that I feel like it's the people that raise the kids. So I spoke about my grandmother because I said that she instilled the value of hard work in me and independence, because like I said, she lived so many years on her own and she raised an entire family on her own. Then I said that I lived with my mother, who had a difference in value. So my mom grew up in a household where it was the women cater to the men while the men work and provide.
That
was the house.
That sounds like a very old school mentality.
Right, and that's fine, because shout out to the cultures that believe that. There's cultures that believe that till this day. I'm not one to judge your beliefs or your values, right? But the Hispanic culture kind of lives in that mind frame still, right? I can speak from that because I was raised in a Hispanic household, so I know that a lot of Hispanic households still believe that the woman cooks, cleans, and raises the kids while the man provides, right? So, if we're going to talk about the values that we're instilling in our kids, if I raise my daughter to cater to a man because that's my value, right, then what does that mean about the man she's going to end up with? If she falls in love with a man who wants to be a provider, then fine, that's the life they choose to live. But if she falls in love with a man who wants to be a provider, but maybe is lacking the ability or the opportunity to be a provider, then is my daughter just gonna shit all over him?
See, that's the thing. I wouldn't raise my daughter to be just a cater, you know, because there's men out there who take advantage of women who just cater. Like, they keep their women down. They don't want the women, you know, drawing out of their element. They just want them to cook, clean, and pop kids. While the dude's out there working, granted, he provides, but as a man, that's his role. You know, he decided to take that role as a provider. And he decided for his woman not to help provide in the household, so...
But that's what I'm saying. That's the pressure of a man.
Yeah, but there's men out there who don't want their women working. Just so they can be
and
in
that's
control.
Fine.
Just so they can be in control of the situation.
And that's fine. That is fine.
So, you know, there's men out there who hold their women down. Like, I would never hold my woman, my wife down because she has all the potential in the world to grow. But there's men out there who believe, like, yo, I keep my woman down. She won't be smarter than me. She won't make more money than me. And then she'll be at my mercy because she doesn't know anything.
And there's a word for that. And that's called insecurity.
Yes.
That's called insecurity, and that goes back again to the pressure that society puts on a man, right? But, so if you're a man, right,
but,
and you know...
Hold on a second. But society doesn't put pressure on you to hold your woman down. Like, it's different. Like, if you work and I work, then, okay, society puts that pressure on me to do more, to achieve more, to look for more. But if she's not working and he's working, he's the only one that's providing, and he doesn't want her to work, then that's not society. That's him being insecure.
I'm gonna have to disagree with you because if you know you ain't shit, it's because a couple times people told you you ain't shit. And why are they telling you you ain't shit? It's because of what they think that you should be. Right? So like right now, let's say somebody comes and tells you, yo, your husband ain't shit. Y'all still out here living here. Y'all still driving this Honda right here. Your husband ain't shit. Right? Then I'm gonna start to think you ain't shit because of what somebody else tells me. Right, you don't have views of yourself because you can't look at yourself. You have views on yourself based on what people tell you you are, which is, again, the pressure that society puts on you. So if somebody tell you, yo, you ain't shit, you are not shit. Like, look at this person right here. They making six figures. They driving a fancy car. That's what it is. That's what you should. That's where you should be, right? Then you're going to be like, yo, you know what? I ain't shit. And before my woman finds out I ain't shit, let me make her less than I am. So that if she tries to tell me I ain't shit, she got less than me. So who the fuck are you to talk? You see what I'm saying? So it's like a man that keeps their woman down. Yes, it's wrong. And yes, it's what he believes. But it's an insecurity that they gain from a life of people telling them that they ain't shit. And why are people telling you ain't shit? Because of what they think a man is, quote unquote.
Opinions. I mean,
exactly. Back to the opinion.
You on that. I mean, sometimes you can't blame society for everything. Sometimes, as a person, you gotta take responsibility for your own actions. So, if a dude's insecure, he has no right to make his woman insecure because he is. Like, there's no fun in that. It's
you're
whack.
Right. You're
like,
right.
It's whack. If you one of those dudes that does that, you're whack. You're lame. So, that's not society's fault. That's that man's fault. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't sit here and be like, don't go take the test for the bar because, you know, for whatever reason. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's, I don't even know you know about the bar. You go, boo.
That's because, you know, I want her to succeed. I want her to be more than she can be. But there's dudes out there who are afraid of that. Like,
either you want me to be what you want me to be, or you want me to be a sugar mama? Like,
No. The situation is
with...
buy you
shit.
This goes across the world, across every culture. It doesn't matter. If a man works and he's in charge and the woman doesn't do anything, guess who's in charge of all the decisions in the house? The man. Not the woman. The man. Because he provides. He's the reason there's food on the table. He's the reason she has clothes on her back. And he's the reason they have a roof over their head. So men want that. They want that control. You know what I'm saying? They want that control. It has nothing to do...
Why?
Because they want to be in control. Some men are very controlling.
So you think that it, instead of it being more of like a value that's been instilled in them by their parents, you think that it's more like of a genetic thing, like it's more just like
it's
an
just,
internal thing?
It's just insecure.
Or do you think that has to do with the dynamic?
It's the
right.
dynamic of the situation, and also the man having his own insecurities. Because a guy looks at a woman like, all right, a man makes $50,000 a year, and his wife makes $80,000 a year. That alone, just because she makes more money than him, makes him insecure.
But why? Why is that?
Because he doesn't feel like a man anymore. He's not the one providing.
Didn't I just said that? I said that that's the pressures of being a man, right? That's pressure.
Yeah, but as a man, it's not even the pressure. It's just in our DNA for us to be.
There you go. So that's what I said. Like it's DNA. So it's like hereditary, or do you think it's like your environment? Do you think it's a dynamic of the relationship between your parents that you may have witnessed?
Nah, it's just the DNA. Culture. It's just culture. The DNA. It's just how men are. Men are like...
So genetically, you feel like men just feel like they have that instinct, and if that instinct is not met, then
they feel like they failed.
And you don't think that that's pressure that you put on yourself?
No, because like you want to be able to provide, and you want to be able to do those things. So it's not pressure. It's just you as a man. Like, yo, I'm the leader. I lead my family. I get for my family, and I do what I gotta do.
So when it comes to our kids, you think that our son will pick up on that just by just being naturally a man? Or you think that he's going to look at you and be like, yo, my father was this alpha male who provided and I need to do that? Like, how do you think that our son is going to receive that?
He was born with two balls, so he's
going to do it. So his balls tell him to do it.
So his balls are going to tell him to do it.
I got you, all
right. He can look at me right now and he can be like, yo, my dad plays video games all day, or my dad is always outside doing something crazy, but... He still has an instinct of being a provider. Like, he's like, my dad's out there because he has...
So it's instinctive.
Yeah.
Which I could understand that, because women are naturally instinctively maternal. Like, when women are born, like, when women have kids, it's like you immediately have this instinct of nurturing your child.
You
want to
take a child, you want to run away and coddle your baby forever.
So. Right, and so you're saying that men have this instinct, this male instinct to provide for their...
And protect.
Oh, okay. I never looked at it like that.
Yeah, it's part of nature. It's how we were built.
I never looked at it like that, and I could understand that. I could kind of understand.
I don't think everybody built that way. I'm sorry, guys, but that's just my opinion.
I agree. Yeah. I'm gonna agree. See, I agree with Ro because I agree. That's like, why I say it's genetic. Feel like sometimes when males crumble, it's because like when men crumble, it's just like, I don't know. Like, if I'm looking at it from a perspective, like a father who don't provide for his kids, right? He clearly don't have that instinct because he's not doing what he's supposed to do, according to you, right?
Yeah.
So if all males have that instinct to provide, then why do some males choose not to follow that instinct?
I don't know those kind of males. I don't surround myself with those kind of males.
But why would you think? Because you're telling me... So I'm saying that a lot of times men crumble because of the pressure and the stress that... people and things put on them, right?
Mm.
So if you're telling me that it's a man's instinct to provide for their children and to provide for their family, like you're just born with two balls and those balls tell you that you need to provide, right?
They twist you
and they like sometimes they're big and small, but anyway, but so you're telling me that those balls tell you to provide, right? So what about the men that choose, because they can... They're capable of, but what about the men that choose not to provide? Like, are they not following their instinct, or...
They are, but they're avoiding and ignoring it. It's there. We all, it's there.
So it's there, but they're ignoring it.
Yes.
All right.
But that's another topic for another discussion, because I think we're running out of time.
I think it goes very well with the discussion. So the bottom line is that we got kids, right? We got our kids, and we are trying to find this dynamic between us to raise... not so fucked up kids. Because we've agreed that we're going to fuck the kids up just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We've agreed that we're not going to fuck them up a lot. Just a little bit. So from like 1 to 3, that's acceptable. Anything past 1 to 3, we need to work.
Because sometimes I have my off days.
All right. So 1 to 4, every month I have a couple of days that I fuck up too.
Yeah.
So like, so we've agreed that from 1 to 4, we it's okay to fuck up our kids. Anything mm-hmm. past 4 is a problem. Right. We agreed that there's dynamics that exist between parents, males and females, right?
Yep.
And we want to know, like, we said that it's okay.
We also said it's cool on Becky then.
I didn't say it was cool. I said I can't comment because I don't know what I would do if I had her means.
I'll agree.
I can't comment on that. But bottom line is that we will do whatever we can to make our kids successful, right? And sometimes that is... values that we instill in them is more valuable than paying to just have them skate through life.
Yep.
Right?
Facts.
And the bottom line, I think, of this episode is it's fucking hard raising kids.
It is.
It is fucking hard. I'm going to say that again. It is fucking hard raising kids.
It is. It's facts.
Can I get an A? Amen.
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 That shit is hard. That shit is hard.
Okay, so
that shit is hard.
It's fun though.
And it's okay. It's okay to not be the perfect parent. So long as your kids grow up happy, healthy, and successful individuals.
Yep.
Right?
And they don't grow up to be bitch ass niggas.
Yeah, we don't want those.
We don't want bitch ass niggas.
Or stank ass hoes.
Or Tatianas.
Bust down.
We don't want no bitch ass niggas or stank ass hoes in the world. That's so right. Raise your kids right.
Yes,
so
be queens and queens. And that's
yes, it. Kings and queens.
All right, well, signing off of that note, once again, we're going to give shout outs to our sponsors, The Glam Plan.
They really didn't sponsor us. We just giving them a shout out.
Well, they did your hair last week.
So they did. I'm lying. They did my hair last week.
They did my hair last week.
For my birthday, and they slayed the shit out of it. I got compliments left and right.
So
follow The Glam Plan if you want your... Or Ponytails by Jolene.
Yes, or your makeup done by
Jolene.
Okay.
So yeah. I'm just giving out shout outs and, you know, shout outs.
Huh?
I say happy birthday.
To who?
You.
To me.
Erica.
It was my birthday last week.
Erica's birthday was on Monday. That's why I'm there with the champagne.
It was my birthday last week. Thank you.
She deserves it.
Pisces gang.
Yes, she's Pisces a beautiful person. Pisces are beautiful people.
Pisces are the best people in the world. Everyone loves us. Like, we get along with all the signs.
Make some noise for Pisces.
That's right. Shout out to the Pisces. So we're signing off. So you said we want to sign off with a positive note all the time,
note.
Like Jerry Springer. We want to fuck them up a little bit.
You
left a rag
when you wash your ass.
Oh.
Don't put the soap to your butt.
Okay.
Pause.
Don't put the soap.
Don't put the bar on your butt. So use a rag, people. Use a rag.
Mine is my positive note is God will give you what He feels is for you. Be smart.
Why you gotta
and realize it. Just realize
it's
it.
Summer.
God gives you signs.
She's super stunning.
I kind of.
The spring is coming, so I'm like, I want people to smell good.
Because I feel like, every time for instance, right, I'm interviewing for jobs, right? Because I'm trying to make this career change. And every time I go into an interview, I always say, God, if this is for me, I have faith that you'll give it to me, right? So if I don't get it, then I know it wasn't for me. Right? So follow the signs, people. God will give you what He knows is for you. Signing off.
And use a rag and wash your ass.
And use a rag and wash your ass. All right.
Peace.